All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John Lance Dell. And we're going to be joined in just a second by Larry Zierlein. This is always a great segment. I think maybe because, you know, I think Coach had a hard time hearing us because we were on location last time. Remember? And there was some background noise and everything else.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be better for Coach this time.
Yeah.
But we want Coach to hear us because we got a lot of questions from him about this offensive line. And Coach Larry Zierlein is joining us here once again on ESPN 97.5. He's our O-line expert because, well, he's got a ring, okay? I don't know how many of you out there have a ring, but Coach Zierlein has a ring.
Well, if you're an Astros fan, you have probably.
Well, yeah, you have a ring because you went to a game and they gave you one. Coach Zierlein, how you doing?
I have a ring in my nose. I'm led around.
Whoa.
You don't have a ring in your
since
nose.
I've retired.
Marsha lead you around like that?
That's right.
All right, Coach. Overall, I mean, it looks bad with six sacks. Let's talk about what this Texans offensive line did on Monday night.
Well, first of all, it is not as bad as it looks. The statistics would tell you. Six sacks is not good, but all of them can be fixed. I will say this. I thought their run blocking was very good, and I thought their pass protection against four-man rushes was good. Here's what you've got in today's football. You've got blitzes coming at you from every direction, and they will disguise it from one way, bring it from another way. It's hard enough to block a guy when you know exactly where he is and where you can get in front of him and block him. That's tough enough. What is really hard is when you think you're blocking one guy, then a linebacker or some other defender, maybe on a twist, gets on your edge. And it's really hard if you don't have great edge strength to block a guy who is on your edge. And the Saints were doing a great job of bringing some pretty exotic pressures, especially out of the three-man line. And that's what happened a little bit as some of them got on the edge and just kind of, you know, powered their way through. One thing the Saints or the Texans do need to improve on is blocking the twist. And I thought that was especially true on the left side. Tunsil, and let me tell you, Tunsil is a good player, and he's gonna help him a lot. But still, he's just a part of the unit. And the twist, what we call the TE, where the tackle, the defensive tackle, comes in the gap between the guard and the tackle, and then the defensive end loops around. They were having some problems with that. Laramie was setting out too far. I love his sets. He takes great sets, but when you're going to get a twist, you got to change your set a little bit. And he didn't do it, so he was getting picked, and that was freeing up one of the two rushers. And so they were sacked there. The right tackle has got to be more aware of the linebackers. On a couple of occasions, the linebacker that the center, guard, and right tackle were working to, he on the snap came outside the defensive end, and the right tackle didn't see it. So those are all the things that will come along as they practice. You know, this training camp and exhibition season is not what it used to be. You're not coming into the season nearly as slick as they used to. But let me just say this. Deshaun Watson, to me, is an outstanding quarterback. I mean, some of the things he does are just amazing. But he can really help himself on these hits and sacks. For instance, if you look at the sack that Tunsil gave up, the quarterback, Watson, was 10 yards deep when he got hit. Now, if you watch Breeze, he is always at 8. Peyton Manning used to be always at the exact same depth. If you're an offensive lineman, if you're a tackle in particular, and if you know where that quarterback is going to be setting at all times on dropbacks, not play actions, but on dropbacks, if you know where he's going to be, then you can take your pass set accordingly. And you can set to where you can be slightly inside out, and just run him around. Just run him around the back of the quarterback. But when the quarterback is 10 yards deep, you think you're running him around, and you're running him right into the quarterback. And, of course, who looks bad here? It's the offensive tackle. And that's what happened on his tackle. are on his sack. That's what happened on another instance where from the right side where he was almost 11 yards deep. And so Deshaun scrambles up into the pocket and runs into a sack. So he can help himself a little bit. I don't know what he's being told as far as the depth, but if he's more consistent with his depth, the tackles know better how to set, and that's going to help a whole lot. But overall, I really think it's encouraging. They went into New Orleans, a Super Bowl contender, and had a great chance to win the game. This quarterback is always going to give him a chance, but he's got to protect himself a little bit better. And of course, the line will improve as the season progresses.
Mm-hmm. Larry Zerline with us here on ESPN 97.5. Now, you're a line coach. I'm not, and yet I know that on these twists, if the defensive end is busting down, that there's a real possibility that there's a twist coming from a linebacker or the tackle, that
something's
they're doing
up.
Some kind of stunt.
Something's up.
There's a stunt going on here, Coach. How does Chantrell Henderson not know this? This is kind of basic, isn't it?
Okay, are you talking about the one where the defensive end came back underneath and made the
play?
No,
when the linebacker came outside and Chantrell missed him.
This is just what I said.
Yeah, right, but how do you not know this if you're Chantrell Henderson?
Well, believe me, over 45 years, I saw it happen a lot. You work on it, you talk about it, but they get locked into that defensive end. The defensive end comes inside, and for whatever reason, they don't come off on him. Now, I'll bet you the next week he does. Mike Devlin is going to pound him on this thing, and I'll bet you but he did it twice. The kid did it twice, and for a professional player, there's no excuse for it, but it happens. And, there was another instance where the defensive end came underneath, and I can't remember if he sacked Deshaun or just made a pressure. But it looked like a twist. It actually was never a twist. The running back came out and chipped the defensive end. Well, when the defensive end feels like he's being chipped, he does three things. He either bull rushes, he spins, or he will just jump inside quick. And that's what this guy did. And that wasn't really Henderson's fault, but you're right. He has to see the linebacker who is assigned to their unit. The defensive end is not his man. If a linebacker who is in his unit, the center, the guard, and the tackle's unit, if that linebacker comes outside, he has to come off of him. And unfortunately, it's not as easy as it sounds, but he immediately should think, if my guy goes inside, somebody's coming outside, and he should have seen that.
Hey, Dad, let me ask you something about the run game. What did you see from the run game in terms of they're not a heavy outside zone team like they were. They'll run some of it, but not like they were with Gary Kubiak. Yet this is they've had some success running a football with Bill O'Brien, but this felt like the first time they had a back that they really like his style. Carlos Hyde's compliments, kind of a power running game, which is what Bill O'Brien favors. Can you talk about the run game in that regard?
Oh yeah, I thought they looked good in the running game. I thought Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde both did good, and they are running some outside zone, but it's from the gun. And I don't know if they call it inside zone or outside zone, because the old traditional Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak outside zone was always run from the quarterback under. So your landmarks for your running back were different. Now when you offset the back, then if he does try to run all the way to the outside line mark like they used to do on the outside zone when the quarterback was under, if you try to go to that landmark now from an offset back, you're running sideways forever. So I don't know exactly what their landmark is, but I still think, based on what I saw, the tracks of the offensive line, I think they would probably still consider it as an outside zone. But I think that their running game really looks good. You know, they were good on the outside zone last year. They block it well. They had some problems. The right guard, I can't think of his name, but he had some problems two or three times on the backside, which on the outside zone or any zone play, your major problems come on the backside, not the front side. I think their running game looks good.
Hey, I want to ask you about the two guards. So you have Titus Howard. I want to specifically ask you about rookies. Mac Sharping, who you worked with Max for 3 days, although on limited basis because he had a little hamstring injury. But you know Mac Sharping a little bit. And then Titus Howard, you wouldn't know yet, from Alabama State. But talk about rookies, fitting rookies. So neither guy played. Sharping was he's just a backup right now. How difficult? I thought he had a great preseason. How difficult is it for rookies to go from preseason into the fire in New Orleans? I mean, when can we expect maybe a rookie to be mentally ready for the NFL?
Oh, brother, just from the 3 days that I was with Max, I had a feeling that he was pretty sharp. So it's the mental part more than the physical part, because, you know, when they start bringing those blitzes and the linebacker dogs and those kind of things, and it's one thing to be able to talk about it in the meeting room, and it's one thing to be able to pick it up on a walkthrough, but it's another thing to pick it up when it's loud and when the speed is faster than anything you've ever seen in your life since you've been playing. It takes a little while, but sometimes you just got to throw them in the fire, and that's the end of the story. You know, I love Senor Calamente. He was out in Arizona for a while when I was there, but Deshaun got sacked on a linebacker blitz. It was a 5-man protection. The back was in the backfield. He free released the defensive end drop with him, and the linebacker came in the A gap. And when that happens, the left tackle and the left guard have to squeeze it down to that backer. It's not easy. It's hard. But Senio didn't see that at all. And so that's the kind of thing that Sharping, who had really never played inside, I think he's been an outside guy, everything speeds up on the inside. It's a faster game on the inside. Things happen quicker. And so it could take him a while, but there may come a point in time where they just throw him in.
Just got to do it. All right, before you go, the center, Nick Martin, got extended yesterday. 3-year deal that he's extended. What you've seen so far of Nick Martin, do you feel like he should be one of the highest paid players on this team?
Oh, golly, that's hard for me to answer, John. I mean, I don't have any idea. I do know this, that if you trust your center, those guys are a guy that can direct the protections, do all those kind of things. If he can do that well, set the defenses, and he is worth whatever they're going to give him. I don't know, you know, how he compares to other centers in the league, but I do know this, when you get a center that you feel confident that he's going to direct the other five to who the Mike linebacker is, to where safeties are rotating, et cetera. If you find a guy that can do those kind of things, you better pay him. And whether he's worth it, who knows? But obviously, they feel like he gives them a lot of quality there.
All right, that's an honest answer. A lot of people are ripping the contract today. I don't know, about how all of those things. Absolutely, the coaching staff knows a lot better. It's that whole blocking thing, I don't think, that has been.
Yeah, the mental part of being a center, though. I mean, it takes an intelligent guy, and that's something that does factor in on the football side.
Absolutely,
it does. And let me just tell you, sometimes with a center, that factors in more than the blocking. And you know, for those of us on the outside, look at things differently than people on the inside. If you're sitting in that room and you're confident in him and you know that he's going to see things, he's going to make the right calls, that's what you as a coach sometimes see more so than you see any blocking deficiencies, whereas we on the outside are watching the game, see the blocking deficiencies before we see the smartness. Mm-hmm. So, we all look at it from a different perspective, but it is good to get a center who can, who can direct things, and that's really important.
Coach Zuerlein, as always, man, great talking to you. We really appreciate your insight.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
There's Larry Zuerlein right here on ESPN 97.5.